Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is written in the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 11th verse. This is the testimony of God. He has given us everlasting life, and this life is in His Son. This is our text. The perfect life. Have you ever tried to imagine what a perfect life would be like? Would be a life filled with sunshine. Not too hot, not too cold either. A day when it would never rain on your parade. No sickness, no disease. Plenty of good things to eat and drink. All of them at low prices. And no worries about calories and sugar content and cholesterol. Of having a job that is a pleasure to go to every day. No inflation that affects prices daily. No wars. No rumors of wars anywhere in the world. Peace on earth, among all people and among all nations. In a world where the Eagles and the Phillies and the Flyers win their championships every year. The perfect life. Throughout history, there have been groups of people that have tried to create that kind of perfect life here on earth, but they never work out for very long. The perfect life. There were two people who lived a perfect life. Their names were Adam and Eve. They lived in a world where absolutely everything in their world was absolutely perfect. And in the middle of that perfect world, they lived in a perfect paradise. Everything was absolutely perfect. Perfect weather. Only the best of everything. No sickness, no disease, no death. A perfect place for all of creation and perfection among all created things. They worked, but it was not labor. They were perfectly loved by their Creator. Everything was absolutely perfect. You think they would have been happy. You think they would have been satisfied. You think they would have been content with perfection. I mean, how could things get any better than being perfect? But you know the story. They weren't happy. They weren't satisfied. And they weren't content. They had perfection, but they wanted something better. So they traded their perfect world for something that turned out to be death. When they disobeyed, when they sinned, they destroyed perfection. And now sin and death reigned in all of their creation. I don't think as we sit here today, we can even imagine what that change in their life must have been like at that moment when they lost everything. Love became enmity. Peace became strife. Contentment became worry and fear. Fellowship. We're left with a feeling of being lost and abandoned. Light became darkness, and life became death. That's the world we live in today. We have the consequences of that loss of perfection. The words of Isaiah still ring true today. Darkness covers this land, and deep darkness the peoples. We know the wage that sin pays. It destroys, it twists, it perverts everything. Sin in any of its forms has only one goal, one aim, only one purpose, and that is death. But immediately, into the darkness of this new world, where there was only hopelessness and despair, a light began to shine. Immediately after the fall, the Creator gave this promise: I will send my Son. That promise gave them hope. That promise assured them that what they broke was going to be fixed. And even though they felt lost and abandoned, they were going to be brought back into fellowship with their Creator. Somehow, God was going to fix all that had been broken. And then, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us. Jesus came to do everything and anything that He had to do to bring us back into fellowship with our Creator. He came to do everything and anything to restore all that we had lost. Jesus came and brought us life and light and hope and peace, even while we were still sinners. Again, you would think that everyone everywhere would have welcomed the arrival of the Son of God. Well, you know how that went. Jesus came to bring light and life to a dark and dying world, and the world did not know Him. In fact, the world didn't even want Him. The world hated Him. They hated Him so much that they hung Him on a cross. And they watched and they jeered until He died on that cross. And then they placed His lifeless body in a grave. They rolled a stone in front of it, sealed it shut, and posted a guard. And for a while, it seemed like the darkness had overcome the light. But the death of Jesus is not the end of the story. Jesus didn't come just to show us what love and peace and hope were like. He came to become sin for us. He came to pay the ransom price to free us from our sins. Sin brought the wrath of God. Sin had to be paid for. And the wages of sin is death. Jesus suffered all of that so we wouldn't have to. The Lamb of God had come to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. The perfect life of God's Son was the ransom price for the sins of the world. But the cross and the grave were not the end of the story. On the third day after His death, Jesus rose to life. And by His life, death, and resurrection, there is available for all the forgiveness of all of their sins the sure and certain hope of salvation and the promise of a perfect life with God in heaven. By his resurrection, the grave has lost its sting. Death has lost its power. And by grace, through faith, there is life and light and hope and peace. Because of the cross, there is the forgiveness of all of our sins. And where there is forgiveness, there is also the promise, the sure and certain promise of life and salvation. Can you even imagine what God has in store for those who love him? Faith assures us that it's going to be a perfect life in heaven with God. A perfect life. A life where there is no more tears, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more pain, no more grief, no more darkness, no more death. It will be the perfect life, where God will be with us and where he himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Can you even imagine what that perfect life is really going to be like? Well, one day we will be there. One day we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One day, we will be with our Savior God. We will be there with all the saints and angels. And together we will gather around the throne of grace and offer up our hymns and prayers of thanksgiving for our forgiveness. But we aren't there yet. So what should we do as we await that day? The first thing we need to do is remember. Remember who you are and where you are going. You are a redeemed child of God. And there is nothing and there is no one who can ever snatch you away from him. Remember that all of your sins have been paid for. And they are all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And there is no one, not even Satan himself, who can accuse you of anything ever again. Remember, you are saved. You have been saved from the consequences of your sins, and you have been saved for eternal life. Heaven is your eternal home, and nothing and no one can ever prevent you from receiving your crown of life. Remember the fight that took place to win your salvation. Remember that fight has been fought. And the victory has been won. An overwhelming victory has been won. Keep your eyes on the cross. And remember, every time when you look at that cross, remember the depth of God's love for you. Listen to what Jesus says to you from that cross as he was earning your salvation. Father, forgive them. That's what that whole event on the cross was all about. Forgiveness. The full forgiveness of all of your sins. Yesterday's sins, today's sins, tomorrow's sins, all of them forgiven. Listen as he proclaims from the cross, "It is finished." Sin and its consequences have been paid for. Now there is redemption. Everything that needed to be done has been done perfectly, and you are saved. It is your gift by grace through faith. By that gift, you share in that overwhelming victory that Jesus has won for you. We live here with the promise. Because he lives, we will live with him also. You are a child of God, perfectly forgiven, perfectly redeemed. You have been washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, and you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You are an heir of salvation. And your Savior God is right now preparing a mansion for you where you will enjoy the perfect life of the redeemed in heaven. Can you even imagine what that perfect life will be like? I was going to end here, but I have a little P.S. We aren't there yet. Don't forget that vision of Isaiah of what our world is really like. Darkness covers this land, and a deep darkness covers the people. So while we're waiting for that day of glory, we need to look around at those who are around us, friend, family, neighbor. And if they don't know, we have to tell them. We have to let them know about the depth of God's love for them. God doesn't want us all to become Martin Luther's. Doesn't expect us to be the Apostle Paul's either in this day and age. But there is still one thing that we can do that is so easy. We can invite them to come. To come and join us here. What better place for them to be? To bring them here to be in contact with others of the faith. To be here to hear what God has to say to them in the words of the lessons, in the hymns, in the prayers, meditations, and even in Bible class. So many people need to hear the good news of great joy. If you know anyone on this journey who doesn't know, just invite them. Come and see. Come in here. Come with me. Because a perfect life awaits us in heaven. Amen. We rise. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.